Again, welcome to our guests who are with us for Holy Mass at the Cathedral this afternoon. We're honored by your presence and your participation. We will have just some simple light refreshments following Mass, if you can join us. Just a time to be together now that it seems all of those restrictions are lifted and we're able to enjoy just a few minutes together, so I hope that you can join us. You probably might not recognize the name Rita Antoinette Rizzo. Rita was born on April 20th, 1923. She had a painful childhood, which was spent mostly in poverty. When she was a young woman, the Holy Spirit touched her for a vocation, a religious vocation. And at 21, she entered the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration. It's a Franciscan religious order for women. Not too long after that, she believed that God was calling her into television ministry. At the time, she did not know anything about television except how to turn it on. But she prayed about it and decided to go ahead with the project, believing that everything would fall into place. My friends in the Family Renewal Project may want to pay close attention. So, with only $200 and six other sisters, she became the only woman in religious broadcasting to actually own a network. She went on to establish a new house for the order in 1962 in Irondale, Alabama, where the Eternal Word Television Network, otherwise known mostly today as EWTN, is headquartered. 1996, she initiated the building of the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament and Our Lady of the Angels Monastery in Hansville, which is not too far from Irondale. The sister, Mother Mary Angelica of the Annunciation, although she died semi-paralyzed and, interestingly enough, unable to communicate due to several serious strokes. A program today, pre-recorded, is still seen by millions of people. Millions. The title of the program is Mother Angelica Live. Her network is available 24 hours a day, everywhere in the world. Visitors to the complex in Irondale or the shrine in Hansville cannot help but be impressed with what God has accomplished using this one particular woman. Whoever would have thought that Rita Rizzo, coming from an impoverished background in Ohio, starting on her own with only a few $100s, could reach out and help millions of people to learn and appreciate their Catholic faith. Whoever would have thought that such a tiny seed would become such a large tree? That is the way the kingdom of God works. And the Sunday scriptures are exactly about that kingdom, and about how God works. The Gospel of St. Mark consists of two parables, excuse me, which are quite different in meaning, but which have a common thing in being connected with the growth of plants. In the first parable, Jesus tells us what the kingdom of God is like. Might be helpful just a few words about that word kingdom, which frequently appears in all of the Gospels. What does he mean when he uses this term, kingdom? First of all, for Jesus, it is not a place. It's based on the Greek word basilai, which we get our word basilica, and is an abstract word which means kingship or reign rather than a territory or place. What Jesus was speaking about when he used the word kingdom of God, that kingship, that reign, was on power, God's power, not place. So to belong to the kingdom or kingship of God then is to put oneself fully, conscientiously, and deliberately under the power of God. To experience that power and be empowered by it. That power is above all the power of sacrifice, power of charity, the end, the power of love. It is a creating, enfolding, or embracing power, an encouraging power, a power that lifts up and enables us to be what we are called to be. It's not coercive, doesn't achieve its ends by threats, much less by violence. Just a few minutes, together we're going to recite the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. We're going to say three words. Your kingdom come. And when we pray that together, we're praying that people everywhere put themselves under this sacrificial, generous, loving power of God. In this Sunday's Gospel, Jesus is giving an image of that kingship or power of God at work. He compares it first to the situation of a farmer planting a seed on his land. I can identify with this right away, because when I was a high school student for 3 summers, I worked on my aunt and uncle's farm. I saw it happen. Go to bed in the evening, tired, sweaty. My aunt was an excellent cook, so I was not hungry. The next day, I would see that corn moved from this size to this size to this size. Never saw it grow, but it did. Night and day, while he sleeps, when he is awake, the seed is sprouting and growing. How? He does not know. I didn't either. Then Jesus goes on, of its own accord, the land produces first the shoot, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear, and when the crop is ready, he loses no time. He starts to reap because the harvest has come. So that picture is clear. The building of the kingdom is God's work, and it goes on whether we are working with it or not, whether we notice it or not, whether we're aware of it or not. And it won't be frustrated. Won't be frustrated by any opposition or passivity. And we can see evidence of that in the way that the Christian faith has survived well over now 2,000 years. Some people, some governments, other powerful agencies have done their utmost to obliterate Christianity from the area under their control. Still happens today. Time after time after time, it's failed. Why? Because the kingdom is of God, his power, and his presence. Jesus gives us another image of the kingdom. This time he compares it to a mustard seed. And here the image is not on the inevitability of growth, but of how the kingdom emerges from tiny beginnings. The tiny mustard seed grows into a very large shrub, so big that it can provide shelter for birds in its branches, Who knows, maybe even today there would be room for a cicada or two. It's clearly a parable of encouragement. We need to remember that when these words were written, the church was still relatively small, infant. It consisted of tiny communities scattered in cities and towns and villages all over the Mediterranean area. And unlike what Mother Angelica was to provide, there wasn't the communications media which we take for granted today. So they were, to a large extent, cut off from each other, unaware of each other. But the same thing was happening to them. And in addition to that, they were often subject to savage persecution. It would have been perfectly natural for them to wonder if they could survive at all into the future. They were like tiny mustard seeds. But given time, this tiny seed will grow into a plant so large that birds can nest in it. That vision, given the adverse circumstances in which the gospel was written, was an enormous vote of confidence. Vote of confidence in that kingdom of God. Vote of confidence in the church. As we heard, a similar image in the first reading speaks of the seed growing into a mighty cedar. How surprised those early Christians would be to see us here this evening. Now the mustard seed has grown. Today our numbers are well over 1 billion people, a figure not even conceivable in that ancient world. Gospel's confidence was not misplaced. It's important for us to remember all this when we feel somewhat apprehensive or pessimistic about the future of Christianity or our church, certain parts of the world, including our own little corner of it. I think rising out of the sacred scriptures, there are a few things that are good for us to remember. First, happened over and over and over again. The church actually thrives during persecution. Secondly, the church will never embrace the whole world. It's not the kingdom, but only a sign of the kingdom. And lastly, a vote of confidence. So we concentrate on cultivating our own little field. See the mustard seed grow there, and God will take care of the rest. I end with a quote. Never put a lid on God. You can give God a thimble and ask for a quart. Won't work. Your plans, your projects, your dreams have to always be bigger than you, so God has room to operate. I want you to get good ideas, crazy ideas, extravagant ideas. Nothing is too much for the Lord to do. Accent on the Lord. Guess who said that? Rita Rizzo, Mother Angelica.